الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this beautiful faith of Iman. And having Iman has certain requirements that need to be fulfilled. And in particular, many of us being adults, one requirement that we should work towards fulfilling is relationships within the family. Yesterday I was at an event and the topic was child abuse and neglect in Utah. Child abuse and neglect in Utah. And many of us would look at this topic. In fact, we don't talk about this topic very often, especially in masjids. And the reason why we don't talk about it is because we always think that everyone around us is always safe. And to a great extent, this may be true. But today I would like to share with you certain realities that not only are we part of as Muslims, but we are part of as a community. And this is a very important topic because I firmly believe, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, that if a child is messed up, you get a society and community that becomes messed up. There was a woman, for example, that was talking yesterday, and while she's probably, I'm sure, in the mid to late 20s, if not early 30s, and she was suffering from the psychological scar for many, many years, until a member in her family asked her, "Did the same thing happen to you? What happened to me?" Until this other individual did not tell her that this, what happened to me, did it happen to you? Until that point, she always thought, maybe it is my fault that I was abused. And by the way, abuse is a very broad term. Many of us look at abuse in one way, such as whatever it may be in your mind. But abuse is very, very broad. It is from mental to physical, to touching people inappropriately, to locking them up in closets. Some of us smile, but there are people that do that. Locking people up in closets, tying them up, and beating them thereafter. Some people have animals that will say, "Go and get that guy or get that girl," and the animal will bite. Abuse is in very many different forms. And before I continue any further, we have to ask ourselves, what does Islam say about it? Does Islam already cover all this? Yes, Islam has covered it. But many of us, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, have not accepted it entirely. Look at the beautiful hadith, "Man salim al-Muslimun," that classical hadith. That who is a safe person? A safe person is that individual where people are safe around you with your words, with your action. You don't always feel, when I go home, my mom is going to yell at me. Today, you know, I actually met boys. You know, this one guy would sit in the masjid and he would talk to me till 11 o'clock at night. I have to go. He wants to talk. What's going on with this guy? Why does he want to talk to me till 11 o'clock at night? He says, "When I go home, I don't know what my father is going to do, Imam. I don't know what my father is going to say. Now I have to become his father." Because he wants to talk to someone. He can't talk to his father. His father scared the life out of him. Now he wants to come. I even meet men. Forget about fathers. The man wants to run. I say, "But brother, how many 40 days are you going to go in your life? 140 days a year, 240 days a year, 340 days in the path of Allah." "Imam," he was, "Imam, when I go home, I don't know what my wife will do with me. She will throw the plate at me. She will throw the glass at me. I gave her roses the other day. She used the branches that have thorns to hit me." He says, I'm scared to even go home. This is abuse. So it's not something that only children go through. It's something that men go through. It's something that women go through. So we have to be very, very sensitive. You know, there was a sister, this complaint came on the internet. And why we are talking and sharing these examples? Because sometimes we think we are in love. Now this sister, she would go, for example, shopping. She would go shopping, normal thing to do. And not even a husband, boyfriend, fiance, I don't know what he was to her. He'd immediately tell her, this is what he'd say to her. Send me a FaceTime or a snap of exactly where you are with the time. Now she's in Costco, for example. She'll take a picture, send it to him. So now this is a very embarrassing that took place later on. She happens to have a degree that makes her meet very important people. So as she's meeting these important people, there was one guy that noticed a pattern. And this is the pattern he noticed. He noticed that she would take a picture and she would send it off and continue talking. So this politician looked at her and said, I'm thinking that you have a problem in your relationship. She said, how do you say that? What makes you say this? And he said, every time I'm with you, you always take a picture and you are sending it to someone. Does your parent not trust where you are? You're not married. Are you in a fiance or do you have a relationship where the person doesn't trust where you are? And at that point, she broke down. She broke down and she says, yes, I'm with an individual for the past 2 or 3 years. And this person that I'm with does not trust me. Therefore, wherever I am, he wants me to send a Snapchat or wants me to send a FaceTime picture of where I am to show him that I'm indeed with a politician that I'm claiming to be with, that I'm indeed in a given classroom, that I'm indeed with a given doctor, that I'm indeed in a given masjid space. This is called abuse. Because you are with a person, but you are not trusting a person. So you are wanting that person to give you data as to where you are at the given point in time. So the hadith is very clear. The manner in which you talk to people, the manner in which you touch people, there are appropriate ways of touching and inappropriate ways of touching. You'll never see in the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam any sahabi saying that he did anything inappropriate. In fact, if you study Islam, there are certain things, by the way, they talk of safe zones. Safe zones are where it's appropriate to touch people and not touch people. And you'll notice in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll never see him. In fact, I cannot think of a hadith where a sahabi will say, the Prophet of Allah was massaging my back, you know, that lingering effect. And there are so many sisters that complain that, you know, I met this wonderful religious person and he was trying to be like a father to me. And he was touching me in the back over and over, massaging my back. One is massaging. The other is that light touch all the way. It starts from the back, on the top, and Lord knows where it ends. Not only the strangers are doing it to people, our sisters are having it done by their own siblings and their own parents. And some people say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You'll be surprised the amount it is happening in our communities. It is happening with the brothers and sisters. And whenever the child brings it to the mother and father, especially if a brother or father did it, no, keep quiet about it. Don't mention it. Don't mention it to anyone. No, don't bring it up. Your father can't do this. Now, we are giving two messages. Society out there is talking about these topics, number one. And in the family, you are denying as to what father, mother, or what uncle and aunt are doing. And generally we have noticed the problems are the uncles, the brothers and the cousins. Because we have convinced ourselves cousins are like our brothers. Like you ask a sister, how come you're hugging that person? Oh, that cousin is like a brother to me. The cousin is like a brother to me. SubhanAllah, cousin like a brother. Islam is saying stay away from that. So we promote this in our families for whatever reason. And later, these inappropriate things thereafter take place. So yesterday, of course, as I say, I was at that meeting, and let me share some statistics with you. Approximately in 2016, 9,993 individuals were abused as children. Right? 9,993. That's close to 10,000. Do you know what that means, my brothers and sisters? It messes their mind. It sometimes messes their orientation. That means, should now they be with, if they are girls, should they be with girls later in life or with boys later in life? That's why this whole aspect of gay, LGBT, all these things, for me, it's not an issue of haram or halal as much as it is an issue of what created this given outcome in this given individual. And also now you get people within our communities taking part in violent actions towards the opposite gender. When I say violent, you will be surprised how many of our young boys have raped girls. Just that the girl did not take that thing to the court. She did not. When I say girl, I mean non-Muslim girls. Imagine the example our boys are leading. Our Muslim boys have raped non-Muslim girls, and these women have come to the masjid and asked, what do you all teach your men? I say, why do you ask this question? Imam, I was raped, and some of the boys' pictures they show me, they are boys that come to our Friday Salah. Not one, not two, more than a few. And I will say, report it. Well, if I report it, he said, he won't be able to send money back home. He said, if I report it, I'd be destroying his family. He said, if I report it, his father and mother will kill him. I'm like, that guy deserves to die. And now they get more confused. How did you say that? Now, so this is the problem that is taking place. And by the way, I'm not just saying it is only happening amongst the Muslim community. It's happening amongst other people as well, and other communities as well. So this 10,000 individuals who went through this, I cannot even imagine the psychological trauma it will create in their lives and in their future. You know, there is a very senior member of here, may Allah bless him. He took care of, and if I look at this individual, alhamdulillah, this individual, this girl, I remember seeing her maybe about 8 years, 7 years, I can't remember exactly when. After this individual helped this young child develop in whatever capacity, alhamdulillah, when I look at this individual, you see a healthy well-being, a healthy way of presenting herself, a side that allows her to express, I don't know to what extent, express herself in a healthy manner. We need more people like this that will not break our youth, that will not strangle our youth, that will not give them this trauma of the future. Now the Quran, as I say, talks about this, and the Hadith talks, the Quran says, for example, there are certain times you must not allow your children to come to your bedroom. Why? Ever wondered why? Because there are certain times when you are asleep. And many of these abuses take place when a person says, when I was sleeping, I didn't know what I was thinking, you know, I thought it was somebody else near me, but it was somebody else. All these sick things. What does our deen say? Once you go to bed at night, close your door. Teach your children not to come inside after a certain time. If they have certain issues, they must knock on the door. They must get you up. Why? Why does deen talk about this? Because when you are sleeping, what happens? Ask people when it's very hot. You're wearing appropriate clothes. Before you know it, the clothes are upside down. Alhamdulillah. And it's their private space. But what's my point here? That child walks in. That child sees certain things. The child gets curious. They talk about it to their friends. They go on Google searches. Before you know it, they are going to sites they shouldn't have been going to. And one of the advisors of the governor said something very, very important. Abuse, one of the gateways to abuse is linked directly to watching haram things, and you know what I'm referring to, on the internet. Because as they say, first it's the eyes, then it's the mind and the heart, and before you know it, the act is committed thereafter. It's the reality. It's the reality. And those of you that are, alhamdulillah, men over here and women upstairs, Be very cautious of what I'm saying. Because you look at it as just a topic today. That's all you're looking at it as. You may have a daughter. You may have a niece. You may have a sister. You may have a young aunt. And just because a person is 18 and 21 doesn't mean they are strong to defend themselves. You know, when I was young, I said something to my mother. I said, "But Ma, he's so big, he can defend himself from so and so." She said, "Son, don't talk that way. You don't know that person's psychological strength." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Take for example, because my grandfather had a farm, there were cows over there. He used to just keep cows for whatever reason." She says, "You ever went near a cow?" I said, "Yeah, it runs away." She says, "Yes, it runs away. It's big, right?" I said, "Yes, it's big. It runs away." "Ever went near a lion?" "Small, right?" "Ever went near a jackal?" "Ever went near a wild dog?" "It's small. It rips you up." So let's not look at size and age. Every human is going through something. And we cannot just say, "Well, because she was over 18, so she could have defended herself. So therefore, if she didn't defend herself, she was asking for it." No, that psychological state that they are part of sometimes prevents them from acting out, prevents them from defending themselves. The fear that they are part of, the experience in life that they are part of, sometimes stops them from saying, "Enough is enough." We have to be sensitive to this. That's why there is a topic called emotional intelligence. What is emotional intelligence? The hadith talks about ittaqu firasat al-mu'min. Be conscious of the inside of a believer. That's emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence actually is your sensitivity to your environment and to others around you. And to be conscious of what others are going through. And observe the panic that sometimes may be in them. Or observe the challenge that they are going through and not entice or place upon them that which is unnecessary in nature, burden, etc. So now let's talk about the statistics in the next few minutes. For example, in this slide here, child abuse and neglect in Utah, the following statistics remain: victims by age. I mean, you know, this is mind-boggling. 38% of those that are abused took place from birth to the age of 5. Imagine, a child that is born. People are involving themselves in things that are sick in them. And by the way, I'm not talking about just those that are out of our faith. This includes what things that our people have done. Our people, Muslims. Forget about, don't be fooled. Wearing hat, not wearing hat. No, forget all that. Leave all that narrowness one side. This includes possibly each one of us. 0 to 5, 38% of those in that age range have been abused. Do you know what that means? They have been traumatized. They have been touched wrongfully. They have been shown inappropriate literature. They have been exposed to that which is just wrong in nature, period. From the age of 6 to 10, 27%. 27%. From the age of 11 through 13, 14%. And 21% between the ages of 14 through 17 have been gone through this type of unwanted either neglect or child abuse. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, how do we protect ourselves from this filth that our children are at some point or the other going to be exposed towards? Number one, we have to make ourselves aware of the laws, rules, regulations of our society as well as that of Islam. You know, in school, I remember when I was in grad school, there was a class that I took and they called it safe zones. Safe zones mean, in fact, in that class, we were taught the only place you can touch another human is just in this top area here, your rib bone and above, till here. That's it. That's it. No more. Now they even say that is not even allowed. Because there are some people that don't touch, as I say, they touch and they do other things, like they have the lingering effect and all these sick things they do. And the most, if there is a safe zone, they say maximum it's in this area or the arm. And some have even said, some people are so sick, they'll touch you on the arm and they'll start rubbing lightly to get some unnecessary attention from you. Now, these are the things you have to teach your daughters, that touching anybody, touching you besides in this part of your hand is considered wrong in nature. There is a school that is saying safe zone is now, if you have your hands out like this, and anyone comes in your space, that is considered creating now higher alertness. That means you don't bring anyone closer to this given area. And trust me, on Eid day, I think this is a good rule. Because some people, when they hug me on Eid day, subhanAllah, they actually pick me up from the ground. They actually pick me up from the ground. I don't know what they are trying to do. But anyway, that's a separate issue. But what I'm trying to say here is, these are things that we have to consider talking to our children about. That especially when they are young, anyone that comes closer to you, it should be someone that you know very, very well. And they too, you should know them well, but they too should be limited in what they can do and not do. Hugging briefly, not that lingering hug, not that massaging hug, not all that inappropriate looks that take place in eye contact level, all that you have to teach them. This is wrong, this is inappropriate, and you should not allow it. Because my brothers and sisters in Islam, to conclude, we are living in a very confused society. We have religious rules that sometimes are not fully understood. They're understood by the way we wish to understand it. Then we have laws out there. The laws are also changing as they develop. Then we sort of mock the laws. Oh, they don't know. One day it's this and one day it's that. Then we mock religion. Well, religion says this, but the law says that. And I agree with the law more than the religion. All these type of discussions are only going to hurt us. We don't need to become debaters regarding this. What we have to do is gather between the both and make it work for ourselves in a consistent and a healthy manner. So we'll end up with a beautiful hadith that says, you know, Rasulullah said it very beautifully, that let's keep people safe around us. Man salim al-muslimuna ila akhir al-hadith. Keep people safe with our tongue. Keep people safe with our hands. Keep people safe with our very presence. Let's not inflict on the youth more pain and more challenge than the challenges that they are already going through. Let's treat others like how we'd like to be treated. Let's treat others like the ideal we have in us. What's the ideal? The ideal in us is, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want my child to be hurt. I don't want my friends to be hurt. The same thing we should extend to other people's children and our own children as well. See, the ideal is there. We say we don't want all these things, but many times we do it. So the ideal shouldn't just be an ideal, as in a theory, but it should be an action. So inshallah, and if any of you want to see this given folder, by all means, you're welcome to do so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the folks that are here downstairs as well as upstairs. As I mentioned to our sisters also, don't put yourself in harm's way. Don't do that. In the beginning, we talked a little about it. Watch where you go. If you have desires, you want to do things that are creative, whatever creative means, talk to it, to your parents. Talk about it to your mom. Talk about it to your dad. Talk about it to a person that you really trust. Because more often than not, because you are afraid of your parents, you run out to others out there for whatever love and affection. And unfortunately, that love and affection doesn't really come your way. And by the time you realize what is happening, you are scarred. Those around you are scarred. You are embarrassed. You are hurt. You cannot thereafter function in a healthy manner. We all have needs, men and women, young ones and elders. You have to find a safe space to communicate this, and don't ever communicate it with people your own age, because they are just as confused as you are. Serious point. Don't go and say, well, she's my best friend, I'm 21 and she's 21. Trust me, it doesn't work that way. Find a respectable older woman in the community, or someone that you really trust, that you can go to and say, you know, these are the issues. I'm from a different culture than you are. I want you to help me understand how I can overcome these given issues. And if you can find a psychologist or counselor that is part of our community that doesn't judge you and doesn't want to reframe you, but rather wants to work with you in a healthy way, following the Quran, following the Sunnah, following that which is correct, then that would be much better for you. Again, our sisters are going through a lot in this given issue. Many of them have been hurt very wrongfully, unfortunately, by people of our given faith and by youth of our own community. So my advice to you is, be cautious as you move on. I know our EC is trying to find a new program, and as part of that program, we are trying to find a counseling team. So if you know people that are psychologists, qualified, good psychologists that understand religion and understand the field of psychology, I would recommend you bring them forward. If you are part of that, come forward and volunteer. Give people access to you. Allow them to be anonymous. You'll be amazed. I get calls from around the nation because I have a policy. Don't tell me who you are. So people feel comfortable. When they call, I don't go, so what's your background? Where you come from? I don't do all that. We just have to sometimes listen to them. And you will be amazed at the amount of people that call in. And I think if we have more people that are qualified in these given fields, it can really, I think, change people's lives, inshallah. May Allah continue to protect our youth, continue to protect our sisters and brothers, and keep us, inshallah, on the guided pathway. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.